Welcome in to a Wednesday night edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. For the second week in a row, we have a Locked On crossover. Jimmy Butler, well, he didn't announce it, but the next best thing, Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that after a meeting between him and Tom Thibodeau, Butler wants out of Minnesota. His three preferred destinations, the New York Knicks, Los Angeles Clippers, and by some weird miracle, the Brooklyn Nets. We're talking about that next on the Locked On Nets podcast.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Again, thanks for tuning in to Locked On Nets. I am your host, Gavin Shaw. After 4 years covering the Phoenix Suns, I moved back to my native New York to cover your Brooklyn Nets. And I am joined by the host of the Locked On Timberwolves podcast, Colton Molesky. Colton, you told me the weather is dreary in Minnesota, and that is right on par with how you're feeling right now.
It's a bummer. I mean, I know that there's been some. I've been talking with fans and other media people alike over the last 48 hours about the Timberwolves. I know there's some pushback, especially by a lot of fans, thinking maybe this is better and that Jimmy Butler is just a hard player to work with, but. Just as somebody who covers the team and was watching all the games and paying attention to practices and stuff, he was a fun guy to cover. He was a really, really exceptional basketball player, did a ton of things for this team's defense. And so it is a real bummer to have this be the situation where they have to trade him now. And I think it makes it harder that the three teams that potentially he wants to go to, two of these teams, I'm not really sure what I'm getting back for Jimmy Butler in the Knicks and the Nets. I'm not sure if there's anybody the Knicks would be really willing to part with that the Timberwolves would be interested in. And I'm not sure what I'm getting from your team, my man. I don't know what the Nets would have to offer up that I would be really happy about getting back for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, and we're going to get into this as we go. But, I mean, my general take on this from a Nets perspective is I really hope they don't trade for him. And I don't necessarily think – he's worth that five-year, $190 million contract. And, again, like to me, I want to get into this more later on, but it strikes me as somewhat similar to the Carmelo Anthony situation about what is it's like crazy. It's like 6-7 years ago now. I think it was back – it might have been all the way back in like 2009-10. Well, when the Knicks prematurely traded for Melo, it was a guarantee he was going to come there in free agency, and instead they give up this myriad of assets for him, and then he never ends up being the guy that could have led them to the championship, and you're just paying him a ton of money for what ultimately ended up just being one great season. But before we get there, I want to get to the root of this. How do you think this devolved to the point that Jimmy wanted out of Minnesota? Because obviously there were reports throughout the year that there were issues there, and it wasn't necessarily the best locker room fit. And he kind of clashed with Karl Anthony Towns, maybe to a lesser degree, Andrew Wiggins. But I didn't see this as a situation where he was going to prematurely request a trade.
Yeah, I was hoping against this, obviously. I just think it got to a point where you have Tibbs. I don't think he was trying to get the locker room together. I think he's kind of a divisive force in the locker room. And this kind of goes into something I've been talking about on the Locked On Wolves podcast for a few months now, is that I don't think Tibbs is a great fit for this team either. And I think that I probably would have rather seen him walk out the door over Jimmy first. But I just think that there's too many opposing forces in that locker room. I think you have Wiggins and Towns in one corner. You have Tibbs kind of in his own corner. And then you have Jimmy Butler, who's just really dissatisfied with a bunch of the moves this team is making, with the way that a lot of the players attack the post or the offseason. And I think it all came to a head when, in this meeting, whatever was said, clearly it was in opposition with where he thought this team was supposed to be headed, with where he thought they were going to be headed when he joined the team. And I think that he just finally said, you know what, it's time to be done with all this. It's time to move on. And now he's given them the ultimate that has become the popular thing to do if you're an NBA superstar.
So what do you think there was anything that Tibbs or I guess Minnesota collectively as an organization could have done last season or this summer to avoid this scenario? Because obviously Tibbs has been operating from a win-now perspective. I would argue, also, I mean, at least from a long-term perspective to the Timberwolves' detriment, but he's been acquiring veterans. He's obviously brought in a guy like Jamal Crawford last year, and he brought in Derrick Rose. You can pick nits and say he only took guys that he either coached or were successful against him, and that's certainly an issue anytime your coach and GM take up the same role. But it seems like he was operating with a win-now perspective. So do you think there was a different path he could have taken where Butler could have been happier, or was this inevitably going to fail?
I think a great way to start the conversation would have been, I'm going to extend your career by not playing you 42 minutes a game, which is something that he would never say. And so I think that right there, right away, you have a solution that was never going to happen, where you're saying we're going to be more creative next season. We're going to use the deep roster we have. We've got a lot of young guys who we can figure out what we have in them early in the season by kind of mixing it up with the roster and the rotations and stuff like that. But in a Tibbs system, that's never going to happen. He's always going to rely heavily on his starting five guys. And so right off the bat, I think some of the solutions there just were never in the pitch to keep Jimmy Butler in Minnesota. And I think that's part of the problem you see with this organization, is that the guys at the head of it, namely Tibbs, are very have a very strong will to keep on pace with what they think the right moves are. And I think last season you thought this isn't what is going to bring future success to the Timberwolves. And so I think that's the root of the problem right there, is that they're not on a trajectory that is good for the roster.
All right, and I think that's an astute observation, and it gets back into what I just mentioned about kind of the inherent conflict of interest in having your coach be your GM, and obviously
exactly.
Your GM be your coach. So, I guess regardless of what happens with Butler, do you see this being a sustainable situation with Tibbs? Like, how much longer can this last? Like, when this issue that plagues every coach GM has kind of propped up so quickly?
I don't think it's sustainable. I'm not sure how long Tibbs lasts. I don't know if he's the coach next season. And I would love to be a fly on the wall in the conversations that the organization is having with Towns, and how much of an impact that is also having on his extension conversation. I know a lot of people maybe suspect that he didn't want to play with Butler long term, but also maybe he doesn't want to play with Tibbs long term, and maybe that's part of the conversation is the Timberwolves admitting that Tibbs isn't a part of the long-term future of this team to keep Towns. Because you have, now more than ever, but even before Butler wanted to get traded, you have to keep Towns around. And he has to be the mainstay of this franchise for the next 4 to 5 years. And so if that means finding a new head coach, which I think you would have to do anyways, then that's what has to happen. And so it'll be interesting to see how much the Towns conversation and the Towns contract conversation has to do with Tibbs' future with the team.
All right, and with that, let's wrap up this first segment. And then when we come back, we're going to get into this from a Nets perspective, talking if Jimmy Butler is worth that 5-year, $190 million max, and what package the Nets could potentially put together for Butler if they decide it's the right path to trade for him this season. All that and more next on the Locked On Nets podcast.
With the start of the NFL season, fantasy football is officially underway. And we have two fantasy football shows to help you. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 gives you all the latest news, waiver suggestions, and injury news. Locked On Fantasy Football is now Locked On Fantasy Football Experts, with amazing guests every Monday, Tom Kesenich, Tuesdays, Eric Edholm, Wednesdays, Jeff Ratliff, and Tyler Leuchner.
Peak ticket season in New York is fast approaching, and we know that you want to be a part of it. The NFL is in full swing, the Yankees are getting ready for a playoff run, and hockey and basketball are just around the corner. And there's no better option to get a great deal on attending any of those events than Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats allows you to sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for $20 off orders of $200 or more to save you even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Then use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more. That's LOCKEDON. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event.
Thanks for sticking with us on the Locked On Nets podcast. Gavin Shaw joined by Locked On T-Wolves, Colton Molesky, talking a potential Jimmy Butler trade. So, Colton, you open this podcast up by just ripping the heart out of Nets fans. You'll see a feasible package from this team. And I guess that's like certainly like a reasonable perspective from someone who doesn't follow this team every day. And even for someone who does follow the team on a day-to-day basis, I would say on the surface, if you're talking about a prime Jimmy Butler, no, there's not really anything worth on the Nets roster trading for him. But given the situation where he's already asked to be traded, given the fact that he wants a contract that I would make an argument he's not necessarily worth. I think there's certainly a deal that both these two teams could strike. That would be fair. But before we even get into the exact players, do you think he's worth 5 years, $190 million? Obviously, I think he's turning 30 either before the season or during the season, and he's a guy who is not necessarily – I mean, he's skilled, but he's not like a great shooter, so I don't necessarily see him aging that well.
I do. I really love both what he does for a defense and for the Timberwolves. With their poorest defense 2 years ago, they didn't have a great defense this year, but it was a marketable jump from 2 years ago to last year, and a lot of that has to do with Jimmy Butler. He's a great man-to-man and on-ball defender, fantastic, and can play against a bunch of different kinds of basketball players as well. He can go up against the quick guard. He can go up against the forward, the small forward that's trying to maybe bring the ball down to the paint and bang around a little more. Very versatile defender. And then he also, offensively, I know that he's not going to give you a bunch of outside shots and three-point shots, but he has a really great self-awareness offensively. He has a great basketball IQ, can get the basketball to the open man and open up stuff for other players around him. You saw how well Jamal Crawford and his three-point shooting game played off of Jimmy Butler. And also, he's very self-aware as far as what shots he can take. He has a really great mid-range game. He's not going to stretch his game because he knows he's not a great three-point shooter, and so he's not going to bring himself out and try and change his game up for that. He knows what he does well, and he sticks to that, and then he also opens up offensive stuff for other players around him. I think he's a really great player. I would be willing to give him the contract. I also think that if you're of the mindset, and it's not necessarily a terrible way of thinking about it, but if you're of the mindset that if you give Jimmy Butler an extension, you're also enticing a guy like Kyrie to come play with you. That could be another bet that you're making as a Nets, a front office, part of the front office of the Nets, and also as a Nets fan. If you're betting that Jimmy Butler brings Kyrie to your team, isn't that kind of worth it as well? Because now you have two all-star level players. Now you might be one of the better teams in the East with Kyrie and Jimmy Butler leading your team.
Yeah, no, that's kind of that's the inherent question for me, and that's what I'm looking at. Like, do you think this, if not guarantees you, Kyrie makes you the favorite for him? And I've long been of the opinion, and we've spent a lot of time on Locked On Nets talking about this past summer, that Kyrie would be absolutely insane to leave Boston outside of Golden State. There's not a situation in the NBA that's even close for a superstar. And I think for Kyrie, a guy who, by leaving Cleveland, kind of suggested that he wants to be the best player on a title-contending team. You're not going to have a better supporting cast with someone without getting someone better than you than what the Boston Celtics have. And you mix in Danny Ainge, arguably the league's best GM. You mix in Brad Stevens, arguably the league's best coach. I think even with Jimmy Butler in Brooklyn, I think he'd be insane to leave. But that's not always how players operate. You don't operate in a world where these guys make perfect basketball decisions. Sometimes stuff like, I want to win in my hometown. I want to win specifically in New York. I want to play with my best friend in the league, which may or may not be Jimmy Butler. That stuff does come into play. That's the reality we live in. And I think because of that, like, maybe you're right, and it would be smart for the Nets to take a chance. And I guess the next question is what counterexample in recent NBA history do you look at for Jimmy Butler? Do you look at someone like Melo, who I just brought up, and say, look, you shouldn't give up assets for a guy prematurely. Look what happened with Carmelo Anthony. The Knicks were left with a team that wasn't good enough to contend once they got him, and because of that, they never built a team that was good enough to win a championship once they got him because they gave up all those assets to get him. Or you look at someone like Paul George, who the Lakers said, you know what, we're not going to rush this. We're not going to give up someone like Brandon Ingram to get Paul George a year early when he's guaranteed to come to L.A., and then he never ends up making it to L.A. So I guess, this is like an impossible question for you, but just in general, as a hypothetical GM, what's kind of your take on that in that balance? Like, should a team prematurely trade for Jimmy, or should someone, or I guess a team like the Nets, let's use them as the example, bet on their infrastructure, bet on the fact that he wants to come to New York, bet on the fact that he wants to play with Kyrie, and say, you know what, we're just going to hold off for a year. We're not going to give up any of our talented young guys.
Well, I think it depends on the situation as well. Like, you bring up Carmelo Anthony, Even in his prime, he wasn't a superb two-way player. You're looking at Jimmy Butler. He's changing two aspects of your team. He's bolstering the defense and the offense. He's not just going to help playmaker. He's not just going to secure some things on defense. He's helping you as a two-way player. You also bring in the Kyrie aspect of that. The Nets and the Knicks were both teams that Kyrie talked about, or there was kind of rumors about Kyrie maybe going to one of those two teams and joining up with Jimmy Butler. And so if Jimmy Butler's on the Nets, it's not crazy to think Kyrie might end up on the Nets as well. But I think just from a GM perspective, if you're the Nets and you've kind of had, you look at their history and you go back to the trade with Boston and how they've lost their picks and how they've just tried to buy out players and get talent that way through free agency. If you're able to give your franchise and your fan base somebody like Jimmy Butler with an all-star level player like Jimmy Butler and saying, look it, now we're out of the woods and we're out of the woods and this is what the face of being out of the woods looks like as an all-star and Jimmy Butler who's going to be able to play with a bunch of the guys on roster. You can play with point guards. You can have him be the point guard on the offense and then on the defensive side. We're going to throw him at the best offensive player on the other side and he's going to be able to lock him up and free up a lot of guys who maybe aren't the greatest defenders on a roster. He's going to make them look a lot better. So I think if you're looking at it from that angle as a GM, kind of we're coming out of the woods and this is our guy to really bring us back into the limelight and really kind of be the next stage of Nets basketball. I think that's a really great sales pitch, not only for your front office, but for your fan base.
All right, so Colton and I ran kind of long, so I decided to split this off into a part two, which you won't have to wait long for. We'll have it up tomorrow morning. Colton and I will go over other targets on the Nets roster the Timberwolves could potentially be interested in a Jimmy Butler trade, and what the Timberwolves rebuild will look like if they do decide to trade Butler. That next on the Locked On Nets podcast.